spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. It's been a good day. A little tired, but Lord, we desire to worship you and to be instructed from your word. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel chapter 9, 1 through 11. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame, as at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who were near and those who were far away, in all the lands to which you have driven them, because of the treachery that they have committed against you. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice. And the curse and oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him. Amen. Well, let's look at this passage and think about in our prayer life how we approach God. And as we approach him, what are the motives of our praying and our attitude? In verses 1 and 2, Daniel is aware that the end of the 70 years is getting kind of close. And he admits this. And notice here in verse 2, he says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Daniel is praying based on his knowledge of the word of God. There were a lot of false prophets, a lot of false teachers. Prophets saying you're not going to be in captivity more than 2 or 3 years. Well, that's been a long time ago. But Daniel refused to listen to these false teachers. You and I need to be so careful about who we listen to in teaching Scripture. There are so many teachers in so many ways, opportunities for us to be instructed. And we have to be very careful of what you and I take in as truth. And that's why it's imperative that you and I know the Scripture ourselves and we listen with a discerning ear. So Daniel studied what the Lord had given to Jeremiah. Now, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 25. In Jeremiah chapter 25, in verse 12. This is the Lord giving to Jeremiah the judgment that he was bringing on his people. Then after 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, declares the Lord, making the land an everlasting waste. So Daniel was basing his knowledge of the 70 years and coming to the close of that on what the Lord had actually given to Jeremiah. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. Why is Daniel so intent on knowing the truth? Why is he so intent in knowing the truth? Turn to the book of James. Turn to the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 3. James, as he was being led by the Holy Spirit, writing about praying, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." As you and I pray, we have to ask ourselves, why am I asking the Lord for this particular petition? What is behind it? Am I asking amiss or wrongly? The word wrongly there actually means with the wrong motives. Not asking from a heart committed to Christ, a heart that is wanting to know the will of God, but a heart that just wants it for himself or herself. And so the Bible, the scriptures become a guide for us to pray. Knowing the will of God, knowing his word, knowing what he has promised us and what he's going to fulfill, and praying by the truth. And so we don't want to spend our times praying from a wrong motive or a wrong heart, but from a heart committed to Christ and knowing the will of God and following him. Now let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 3. This is where Daniel actually begins his prayer. And so as you and I study scripture and we know the Lord, we know how to pray, look at Daniel 9:3. "Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer." I turned my face to the Lord God. To turn the face means literally to raise my face to the Lord God. Lord there is Adonai, which means that he is the sovereign ruler. He's the almighty ruler, and everyone is subject to him. And as Daniel prays to Adonai, he's admitting and acknowledging who God is and who Daniel is. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll go before the Lord telling him what to do instead of asking him humbly for whatever we need. So we have to be careful in our attitude, in our hearts, of how we pray. Am I giving the Lord orders? Or am I putting my petitions before him and asking him? I remember one time I was praying based on Psalm 37, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." Lord, I'm delighting in you. Give it to me now. And I was serious. And we have to be careful about this. To whom are we speaking? And this is Adonai. Now, let's look at the other name that Daniel uses here. And that's Elohim, the omnipotent God. The same God who in Genesis chapter 1 created everything, including mankind. And so it humbles us. It keeps us to have a humble spirit before God as we pray. So I turn my face to the Lord God. Now here, look at the next two words. Seeking Him. Seeking Him. Boy, this made me really stop and think. When I pray, what am I seeking? Am I seeking the Lord? Or am I seeking what I can get from Him? And the verb to seek there is a strong verb. It's a really strong verb. And the verb means to seek for the purpose of finding. And I just, you know, I just put that pencil down and I just sat there for a while thinking, do I seek the Lord? Or am I seeking what I can get from Him? And Daniel here is seeking the Lord, seeking Him. And so as you and I pray, we need to be aware of, am I just wanting to go to the Lord and I believe in Him and who He is, but at this point all I'm interested in is getting what I want? In other words, you do not receive because you ask wrongly. I'm not all that concerned about my relationship with the Lord. I just want what I can get out of Him. And this is not a good way to pray. We need to seek Him first and foremost. And then seek the petitions that we ask. This does not mean that we shouldn't be praying and asking Him for the desires of our heart, because He says to do this. But the first step is seeking the Lord, seeking Him, which would put the emphasis on our personal relationship with the Lord. You know, sometimes the only time we call certain people is when we need something. And if we do that enough, that comes across. And sometimes somebody sees us coming and say, what do you want now? And so we want to not neglect that personal relationship, even in our prayers. Daniel was seeking Him. Now, why did he seek Him? Daniel was in Babylon. The temple had been destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. And that's where God met with His people. That's gone. That is gone. And so Daniel now is looking straight to the Lord. You know, Jesus in John chapter 4, when He was talking to the woman of Sychar, and they were talking about worship, and Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So you and I can worship the Lord. We pray in the spirit. We don't have to have a particular place that we have to go to, because that's where God is. But we have to seek Him personally. And this is what Daniel was doing. He was seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy. By prayer, again, underlines that personal relationship, that walk with the Lord on a daily basis. Seeking Him for pleas of mercy, that supplication for favor. Supplication for favor. Here again, there's not a thing wrong with seeking the Lord for mercy and for grace, but we first seek Him. And after we address Him, then we go into the petition. And this is what Daniel was doing here. Now, notice also in the last part of verse 3 that Daniel was seeking pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. One of the commentators, Colin Deelick, pointed out And I think it was Calvin as well. When the people prayed to the Lord on a daily basis, and the priest offered up prayers for the people, they were not in sackcloth and ashes. They were in their regular clothing. And so Kyle and Dilly say that, and this is an interesting part of prayer, Daniel's prayer was very special and very particular of what he was seeking. You and I pray every day. We pray several times during the day. Just depends on our heart and what we're facing. And that's great. We need to do that. But this prayer, because Daniel was in sackcloth and ashes, it was a very special time of prayer and a very special prayer. It was a very specific prayer. And I just imagine that every one of us in this room this afternoon have had times like that, when we were so moved by the Holy Spirit, whether it be for praise or thanksgiving or a burden or wisdom or just seeking the Lord to deepen our relationship with Him. That was a very focused time of praying. And that's what this is for Daniel. And there are times when you and I would do well to have this special prayer for whatever is on your heart, whatever you feel that the Holy Spirit is leading you to seek the face of the Lord. You do it aside from the regular prayer routine that you have. And this is what Daniel was doing. It was a special time. Now, fasting here is a denial of self-righteousness. It's a denial of self, and I'm good in and of myself. That's the significance of the fasting. The sackcloth was penitential clothing. One who is truly sorry for their sin. And this is deeper than just praying, Lord, please forgive me of my sin and iniquities. How about, Lord, I am so sorry that I have sinned against you, that I have disobeyed your word. I've purposely gone against your commandment. I am so sorry. That's penitential praying. That's being deeply moved in the depths of our hearts and our souls over the sin in our lives. And sometimes maybe we know that in order to pray to God and have the Lord listen to us, we have to confess the sin. And if we're not careful, we can get in an attitude of just simply saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Lord, forgive me of my sins and iniquities and my transgressions. We're just calling words out. There's no brokenness of heart. Repentance means not just a mere turning away, but I am so sorry. I'm broken because of this sin. And this is how Daniel's praying. That he's truly convicted of his sin and sorry for it. Possibly, not possibly, there have been times when we've hurt a friend and we know we've wounded them and we go to them broken and we're so sorry we've hurt them and we say, I know I said this or I did this and I know that hurt you, and I am so sorry that I did that. Please forgive me. There's brokenness in that. True brokenness. And that's what we always need to be and to do. And this is what Daniel did, the sackcloth. Ashes, symbolic of true humility. Humbling oneself before the true and living God. Acknowledging Him and praying to Him by using the various names that God has used to reveal Himself to us. El Elohim, Adonai, El Shaddai, Yahweh. The five basic names of God. And I would encourage each of us to use those names when we approach God, acknowledging and confessing who He is as He has revealed Himself to us. This is how we pray. This is how Daniel prayed. As he was so moved, he knew the end of the 70 years was just about upon him, and he's seeking God's wisdom on what's next. But he also knew before he could do that, the sin had to be confessed. And this is what he does. Look in verses 5 and 6. Look at how he's confessed the sin. And notice he says, we. He includes himself in that. He's not above the people. He's one of them. And he says, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled. You ever use those words in a prayer? Turning aside from your commandments and rules. Now look at 6. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. This is so important here. It says, we have not listened to your servants, who spoke in your name to our kings. You know, y'all can ignore me all you want to. That's okay. Don't ignore the teaching of the Scripture. That's what Daniel is saying here. We've ignored what the prophets said who have spoken in your name. We should never look at the pastor or the Sunday school teacher as the authority, and he is telling us what to do. No, don't do that. Don't put that pastor or that teacher on that level. You're putting him up almost equal with God. He should be teaching in the name of Christ and in the Scripture and in the power of Christ. And so to disobey the Word, the Scripture, that's what we have to focus on. When we're on vacation and we worship, we go into the worship time. My prayer is, Lord, this is your servant. You've given him a message for all of us here today. Help me get it. Help me get it. Because I want it. And then empower me to understand it and to obey it. This is what Daniel is pointing out here. They didn't do that. They did not do that. And so, as we look at this aspect of prayer, this is what we need to look at in our own prayers. In our own lives. Am I ignoring the teaching I'm sitting under that's coming from you? Am I truly sorry for my sin? Am I broken? Am I humble? And Lord, am I really seeking you? Or am I seeking what I want out of you? Daniel was seeking the Lord. And he confessed the rebellion and the sin and the wickedness of the people because they hadn't listened to those who had spoken in the Lord's name. I would like for you all just to meditate on this. The Holy Spirit has spoken to your hearts as He's spoken to mine. And just look at your own prayer life. What am I doing in my prayer life? Is it in line with Scripture as Daniel has prayed here when he was seeking the Lord? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for the salvation we have in Christ. Thank you that you freed us from the bondage of sin and death. Thank you that you are indeed El Elohim, Adonai, El Shaddai, Yahweh. And thank you that you bid us to come to your throne of grace. Thank you for what you've instructed us from your word this evening concerning prayer, how we're to seek you and confess and be truly repentant and sorry for our sin. And you will forgive and you will hear. You will listen. Father, may we be stronger in our relationship with you and in our prayers to you. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is I Need Thee Every Hour, hymn number 428. And oh, how we need the Lord every hour. We will sing verses 1 and 4. Let's stand as we sing.